Welcome to the Family Office Success Podcast, where we talk all things family office. I am your host, Christy Van Wright, and today we're going to talk about compliance. Wait. Don't go to another show. I know it's not the sexiest topic in the world. Okay, perhaps it's the least. Unless you're a compliance officer or you're really into following through like every jaunt and tittle of a 70-page document. And if you are, bless your heart. We need more people like you in the world. I bet you're a 10 on the Colby for follow through, aren't you? Yeah. For the record, I'm an 8 on follow through. So while I'm not quite at your level, I am a real geek for systems, processes, and organization. And yes, a great checklist makes my heart sing, and a half-hearted one just leaves me disappointed, quite frankly. So I have learned over the years that I'm a bit unique in this respect, though not entirely. There are more of you like me out there. There's plenty of us organizers. I just happen to have channeled my organizational enthusiasm into the world of family office services, and I'm fascinated by how families make decisions and how teams make decisions and steward families. We know what kind of information do they want to have in front of them to give a yes or a no? And is there some elusive three-ring binder that's kept to flip through as a way to determine if an investment or an idea or a direction fits into the wider family vision? And what lens are you flipping down as you go deep into what's being asked for you to consider to make a decision on, and or to help a family make a decision on, and does it fit with their family values? It all fascinates me. And families usually have a number of options as to where they place investments. Just as an example, which entity is going to have control? Which one needs to be at arm's length? Do you have a poster-sized diagram of your estate plan and all of the entities that fit in it to decide ultimately who's going to be the right beneficiary to lead it if it goes well? Or which one is it better to segregate from a risk management perspective? For the record, I worked with an attorney a few years back who did something like this for one of our clients. And because it wasn't terribly complicated, but it was complicated enough that the saying, can you draw me a picture, applied. And we needed an easy reference to know where cash flow was coming from and where we, please don't write a check from this account to pay over here. And here's what happens if you do. It's, it's the same idea over and over that I see again. And I have to tell you, well, that's a legal team after my heart. I love, and I still love working with them for that exact reason, because it's so necessary sometimes to have a broader picture, to have information to help you make decisions or help a family make decisions in an easily accessible place. And so it's really important. It's important for everybody, but it's particularly important for families at this level to know how the family got here. Are we doing something with this that's in their value system? Are we expanding our values? Are we contracting our values? Just all of those things. And for me, the processes and the procedures, it boils down to Einstein's quote, which is make something as simple as possible, but not simpler. I think it was Da Vinci that said, and I'm paraphrasing, the ultimate art of sophistication is the removal of all things until only the true essence remains and there's nothing left to remove. I refer back to that often because it's so easy to continue to expand and miss what the real core, the purpose that you're going for. So from a compliance perspective, how, in a rapidly changing geopolitical, technologically adapting world, can we create systems and processes that bring us to the essence of this foundation, this support system for a family to have information at their fingertips, for an attorney to understand what came before, to give the best advice for what's coming ahead, for the accountant to be able to work their magic? How do we build something that provides the simplicity and the simplification and the sophistication that our families are looking for. I'm quite sure there are a lot of ways to cook this proverbial steak. And if I haven't mentioned before, I love food. It's my thing. And it's a good thing my husband could and probably, you know, maybe should have been a chef rather than an engineer. I love food that much. So we eat a lot in our house. But I digress. Let's continue the podcast here. How do you work through and create this compliance? And how do you relate that back to the world of family offices? So just like that perfectly cooked steak requires the right ingredients, preparation, and attention to it, a well-functioning family office needs that same solid foundation of compliance. It's not just about ticking boxes or filling out forms. It's creating a real framework that allows the family to pursue their goals with confidence and peace of mind, but also flexible enough to adapt as the family grows and changes and generations come. So what are the key ingredients in this compliance recipe here? You know, the first is you need a clear understanding of the regulatory landscape. And that means staying up to date with the latest laws, regulations, and best practices that apply to family offices, or if you also are running investments, you know, you need to be staying on top of those things. And it's not just enough to know what the rules are. You need to understand how they impact your specific situation, your family office, and what you need to do to stay compliant. You know, this is where having a trusted network of advisors comes in extremely handy. Whether it's your attorney, your accountant, your other professional partners, they are experts and they can help you navigate that complex world of compliance and ensure that you're staying on track and you're paying bills from the right accounts and that you're dotting your I's and you're crossing your T's and you're doing what needs to be done to keep that paper trail, know, you know, what happened, when, know why something happened, and to be able to refer back to that. You also need to establish clear policies and procedures. And frankly, this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of compliance. Your policies and procedures should cover everything from how you handle sensitive information to how you make investment decisions, and literally everything in between. They should be clear, they should be concise, and they need to be easy to follow. The goal is to make things as simple as possible, but not simpler. And the more simple it is, the easier it is going to be for someone to follow it and not miss steps. One arena where policies and procedures are particularly important is in data security and privacy. We're hearing all the time about the increasing threat of cyber attacks and data breaches, and it is absolutely critical that you have the robust measures in place to protect your family's sensitive information. This means encrypting data. It means using secure communication channels, and it means regularly training your staff on best practices for data security. And if you're a family, it means asking the question, how are you protecting our data? How are you keeping us safe? Another ingredient here is documentation. You've got to keep detailed records of transactions, decisions, interactions with your clients, with partners, and with the family. This is, you know, not only does it help you stay organized and on top of your game, but it's also, it's invaluable for an audit trail in case questions or concerns arise down the line. How many times have you gotten asked the question, do you remember why we did this? And everybody looks around and kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, not really. Those kinds of things are problematic. So documentation's, it's not just about covering your bases. It's transparency and it's accountability, and it's helping demonstrate to your clients and to the family and to other stakeholders and partners that you're operating in an ethical and responsible manner. And you know, this just continues to build trust and strengthens everyone's relationship over time. And frankly, it'll save you quite a bit of money for an entity or a trust or a business getting unwound or repurposed because no one could remember its original original purpose and had somebody remembered its original purpose, it might have made more sense and you could have saved yourself some time doing it, you know, without having to unwind. So, you know, even with the best policies and procedures and documentation in place, compliance is not a one and done proposition. It is ongoing monitoring, it's testing, it's continuous adjustments to ensure that you're always meeting the highest standards for integrity and professionalism. And this is where having a dedicated compliance function is incredibly valuable. Whether it's in-house compliance officer or an outsourced provider, having someone whose sole focus on ensuring that policies and procedures are written, they're documented, and they're followed can give everyone the peace of mind and that it's happening and keep you doing what you do best, which is serving your family's needs. Or if you're a family, it means that your providers are doing what they do best and it's helping you and your family move forward. So the other thing about compliance, don't think about it as just avoiding penalties and staying out of trouble. Going back to good notes and paper trails, when it's done right, it can actually be a source of a competitive advantage for your family office. Because if you can demonstrate a commitment to transparency and accountability and best practices, you differentiate yourself from other providers and you're going to build a reputation for excellence. There's just no way around it. And I can tell you firsthand that a lot of firms out there are not going to be able to keep up as things move forward. The Corporate Transparency Act is the perfect example. There are going to be a lot of firms who are wishing they had done it differently. And if they don't figure it out, they may lose some clients over it. So it's also important to, you know, attracting and retaining talent. The best and the brightest professionals, they want to work with organizations that can share values and they operate with integrity. And if you can make compliance a core part of your culture and your operations, you are going to create an environment that attracts and retains the best of the best. And again, that just continues to support the ethos that you're going to build a reputation for excellence. How do you get started on a compliance journey? Well, first step is to assess the current situation and identify any gaps or areas for improvement. This may involve conducting a risk assessment, reviewing your existing policies and procedures, and seeking feedback. Talk to your team and other stakeholders to see what they think. Once you have a clear picture of where you stand and where you want to go, you can start developing a plan to address any weaknesses, and then most importantly, address weaknesses, but also build on your strengths. And this may involve, it will likely involve updating your policies and your procedures. It may involve investing in new technology or training for your staff. It may involve bringing in an outside partner for their expertise to help guide the way. Very acceptable and highly encouraged if you are moving quicker than you can keep up with, but you know you need to fill some gaps and you know that you can and want to be better, bring in outside help. They don't have to stay for long, but they can get you on the right track and help you feel better about knowing that you're doing what's, not only that you're doing what's right, but you're getting it right. So the key to approaching compliance is it's not a burden. It's not a box. It's an opportunity to really strengthen your foundation and set yourself up for long-term success. And if you can make it a part of your core strategy and your core operations, you really do position yourself to navigate the very ever-changing world of regulations and what families need from their family offices. And you can do it with confidence and agility, and you can make changes when you need to. I know it's easier said than done. Compliance can be complex. It can be time consuming. It is often frustrating, but the payoff in terms of peace of mind, client trust, and long-term success, it is well worth the effort. So if you're feeling overwhelmed or unsure of where to start, specifically on the family office services side, Remember, you don't have to go at it alone. There's plenty of resources and experts out there who can help you guide you on your compliance journey, and attend conferences and join professional organizations. Seek out mentors and advisors and masterminds. There's always opportunities to learn and grow and improve. And, you know, at the end of the day, compliance is, it's about more than just following the rules. It's building a culture of integrity and accountability and excellence that permeates every aspect of your family office, and creating trust and transparency to serve your families at an even higher level of confidence and skill. So as you navigate this world, compliance is your friend, and make it core. So that's it, my friends. The secret sauce of compliance in the family office world. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Thank you for joining me on this compliance talk. If you made it to the end, thank you very much. I hope you at least found the conversation informative and thought-provoking, maybe a little bit of fun. If you've got questions or comments, please don't hesitate to reach out. I am always happy to geek out about compliance and all things family office. Until next time, stay curious, stay compliant, and most importantly, stay passionate about the work you do. It matters more than you know.